This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes, and from the studios of Joy 94.9, winging it around the world, it's Greg and Mark here with Detours. Hello, Mark.
Hello, and how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I mean, that was a fabulous edition of Saturday Magazine. I'm a bit of an impassioned fan of 20s, 30s, 40s themed cinema. So that was quite an interesting show.
And I believe that she went through for a very, very long time after that and she spent 50. Well, I can't remember exactly what it was. Anyway, how was your week? Did you travel?
My week of travel has been fun. I only had two little surges interstate, which is quite fun. A little bit of zipping around and getting back to meet my commitments here in Melbourne. But yeah. I love travel. There's something about hopping on a plane, not being able to communicate on the phone, and watching whatever cheap and nasty things on television on the in-flight entertainment, it's always pretty fun. What about
cheap and nasty? Is that the only time you go there?
Well, some commercial station usually has a deal going with the airline, right, and they've packaged a presenter or two to talk about some factual thing about a city. There's always a canned news broadcast. It's usually pretty tardy. It's not what you get on your big screen at home.
No. That's quite right. We are not joined today by the legendary Jodie Wilmer, who happens to be in Perth. So there's more travelling going on.
She's on assignment.
She's on assignment in war-torn Perth and doing her Christiane Amanpour. She is on Facebook and she's been sharing photos and she's having a beautiful time with her family and sends her regards to all the listeners and does wish she's here. We miss her.
She's here in spirit.
She is here in spirit. But who else is here?
Look, I'm actually very excited about today because we have a young man joining us.
A lad.
A wee lad. His name's Michael Dalton. And Michael Dalton today is going to share a different part of who he is because we're going to unpack some of his journeys, his travels. I'm going to find out a bit more about who you are, Michael Dalton. Welcome to Detours.
Good morning. Yeah, I feel like I've been in here a lot, but you're right, this isn't the norm, is it, you know? And I certainly haven't been on your show to talk about what we're going to.
You haven't been. And you know what, Detours over the years, it's about 16 years, traditionally does focus on some of the fabulous individuals that come through Joy as well. And
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people in the gay community would have heard of you, but many people haven't.
Right.
And they should have.
And they should have.
Let's do something about it.
Today's the day.
Yes. Represent.
So, Michael, I'm going to start. What is that accent you have, Michael?
I think it's English, isn't it? Although sometimes it's a bit like when Madonna goes to England at the moment, because sometimes I think I sound, you know, every now and again I do sound quite Aussie, which, you know, people laugh at. But, I mean, I think every now and again I do. And when I go back to England, of course, I definitely sound more Australian, like, you know, on certain words. I hear it come out of my mouth.
Which?
The Aussie.
Yeah, which words?
Well, I guess it depends on what you've been doing. But there's one they tease me of, which is I play a venue called Red Bennies, and I've been known to say Red Bennies, and really sound Aussie on it. So I mean, you know, at the moment, no, probably because I think it's when I drink I sound more Aussie. Would that be right? I don't know.
Well, we got our drinking practices from the Poms, so it's well renowned. That's where most Australians.
Well, I guess I can drink in any language.
Of course, Joy doesn't condone drinking or alcohol in any form.
Well, sensible drinking's okay, isn't it? I mean, you know,
responsible serving of alcohol certificates are available from William Anglis, I believe.
Oh, very good. Now, Michael, you've just returned from, I think it was 4 months.
It was. I've been back a month and a half, and it took me ages to get back into. I was happy to come back, without a doubt, but it took me ages to get over the jet lag. You never seem to be able to get that right, do you? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, whether you sleep on board or you take this, that, and the other, or do whatever. It took me such a long time to get back into the swing of it. But I had the best trip ever. I had a great time. I arrived just in time for the Queen's Jubilee. which is good because I'd gone the year before, but only for a couple of months, and arrived for the royal wedding. I arrived the day of the royal wedding, so I sort of saw a lot of it through very bleary eyes.
So which seat did you have? Which big hat were you behind? Which old queen?
Well, yeah, funny, because I stay most of the time when I go over, I visit my friend Rose Garden, and she was all dressed up. So
does she know Doug Pitt?
No, I don't think so, no. No. I'd rather know Brad, wouldn't you?
But being born in England, being a POM, and returning to such a time when the atmosphere must have been just amazing.
It needed it. It really needed it. It needed the royal wedding and the Jubilee. It's I think a lot of the time it's quite depressing over there. You know, when you have riots in London and things like that.
Absolutely.
It is because the economy is so bad over there. You know, when you walk around, if you go just out of London, obviously London, you know, can survive, look like it survived a little better, because when one business closes down, they'll put another one in pretty much straight away. But when you go out of London and definitely up north, then a lot of the shops are shut and, you know, the towns are dying. They're definitely dying a very slow death. And
but if the towns are dying, where are the people moving to?
The shops are the ones that you obviously see at first. Businesses are not doing well. And I guess they're staying there. They're not moving anywhere, but they're just, you know, the actual facade is changing, you know, so that businesses have had to shut, and you know, if you can't operate your business, I don't know what they're doing, you know, suffering, I would imagine.
And
they needed they needed a jubilee. They needed to feel a national pride, and there's nothing better than a royal wedding or
How do you see the jubilee and the royal wedding making these changes? How do you see the changes? What did you notice the most? How were people reacting to it?
I think when you go to America, you notice how many flags are out. How they're happy to wave the American flag. Well, the British are in that unsure, because there's a very, very big mixture of cultures over there and race. And, to wave the Union Jack was getting you in trouble. To wave just St. George's flag, which is the red cross on the white background, was definitely
British nationalism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And causes
and BNF,
a lot of trouble.
Right.
Yeah, the BNP.
BNP, that's
right. Yeah, was causing a lot of trouble that, it was almost like you were saying, yes, I'm British, get out of our country if you were waving a St. George's flag. Well, that's because it's attached to some bad people, you know, but there's also a hell of a lot of good people, and there was nothing wrong with St. George. So, and there's nothing wrong with the flag. But it gave people the right to wave a flag. And I think, you know, when you're not feeling all that good about the country you're in, if you get a reason to feel good about it, it's only got to be, you know, worthwhile.
Now, were you over in England during the Queen's Jubilee, or were you there for the Olympics? Let us know. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au is the email address. Join us. I mean, I'd find out about your journeys, and do they mimic what Michael experienced when he went back to England? You're on Detours. And who's here with us?
Michael.
Greg.
And Mark, okay? Stay with us all the way through to 1 o'clock with Michael Dalton, our guest.
Thanks, Greg.
Bit of a song for you, Michael.
I like this.
This is Deborah Cox.
Melbourne's most uplifting station is about to take you to new heights. Joy 94.9.
You're on Detours with Mark and Greg and our special guest today, Michael Dalton. Great track. What was it called?
It was called Absolutely Not by the incredible Diana Cox. What a set of pipes.
Deborah Cox.
She's incredible too. And what a set of pipes.
That was fantastic. Good choice.
Oh yeah, I like that.
And what about her music makes you...
The voice, the diva.
The diva.
I like strong female singer like that.
She was singing the heck out of that.
Absolutely she
yeah,
was.
There was nothing left.
No.
And how strong have some of the divas been out of the UK as well? I mean, amazing.
Leona Lewis, big one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she gets on my nerves. I mean, I think she's a great singer, but I mean, you know, really.
Is she really?
Well, perhaps that's a little harsh, but, yeah. You know, she's just too wishy-washy. You know, I really? Like, yeah, I mean, if you ever heard her interviewed, I mean, you know, that doesn't mean she shouldn't sing, you know, and it's not all about the interview. But as an artist, I think, you know, she needs to, you know, get some balls, I think.
All right, what about One Direction?
They're fine, but, you know.
Are they English?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Which cloud did I...
Where did you think they were from?
I thought they were from the TV.
Yeah, well, you were right. Pretty they much. Are.
Now, Michael, we've started exploring some of that, you know, return to England, some of that visiting back to your home country. Mm-hmm. There is a change. You've obviously picked up a change.
Yes. I mean, but, you know, when I left, it seemed to be much better for... I mean, when you have something like the Olympics or a Jubilee, I mean, the recent, obviously, was the Olympics, it's lifted it unbelievably so, you know. And it was a whole run of events as well from...
What were some of those events?
Know, well, they had the Royal Wedding, they had the Jubilee, yeah, then they had the Olympics, ones. And then the Paralympics. But, I mean, it's what all of those events get the people to do, the communities to do. Of course, it kind of they tidy up London, don't they? They tidy up the surrounding areas. You know, a part of that's not maybe quite right. You know, they sort of, you know, pay the homeless to go somewhere, I think, or which it probably isn't right, but, you know.
Well, China pulled down the slums, didn't they? So in UK...
Yeah, but did they rehouse everybody? We never really know, do we? All we see is that the slums are no longer there. But, you know...
it's, and especially in East London, where there is some challenging areas with people...
Yes, I mean, it's done an awful lot to Stratford and all of that sort of area, you know.
Yeah, with a big shopping centre that was linked and you had to go through it to get in and so forth. There was incredible stuff. But what about the more granular stuff, the communities? What did people get up to? What were your experiences when you were there?
The mayor, Boris Johnson, who I think is a good mayor. I like him, you know. He obviously was encouraging people to have street parties and to, you know, to put on their own little... It used to be like that. I remember going in 1977 to the Silver Jubilee and being at a street party as a kid, you know, as a baby, I think. No, as a young boy, yeah. And just the sense of pride that you get for one of those things. And, you know, that people were doing that. They were involved in doing that. And I don't know, it just brings a community together again.
Doing
and there was one and having the street party and putting in, you know, there was one particular street party that actually got royal attendance. It was one of the, you know, the lesser royals, as they say.
The lesser royals?
Well, as in, you know, it wasn't the Queen. But coming along to a street party and just getting involved, you know, and having fates and having all of that sort of thing again. Things that generally are considered a little old-fashioned, aren't they?
But we did this in Australia in the, and I'm going to date myself now, in the late 60s we had that, and the remnants of the 50s and before. But by the time we hit the 90s into the 2000s, I was a mayor of an eastern suburb city in the 90s. We didn't do that. The mayor didn't get involved.
Why?
I don't know why. We dropped it from Australian society, and I don't think it's come back today. I started doing... Country towns do
it. Yeah, country towns do it. And, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was in Kyneton on a Sunday, and there was a street fair, and the mayor was walking around, and it was that kind of old school fun
with the robes on.
Yeah, and the CWA making rock hard.
But they do
scones that we all pretended were great and bought them anyway.
They do it. I mean, if you're having it in Melbourne, then that Melbourne's version of that is like Moomba, isn't it? You know, having a...
Well, true,
you know,
it is. Yeah.
It has a version of... It's large on a larger scale. And every now and again, I think people question that, don't they? You know, is it... Should it be?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is it, you know... But, I mean, why not? I think it's more the answer.
Now, we've had a message from Carolyn and Trish. Thank you for messaging. You two can do what they've just done and message 0427JOY949. And she says, would you like to know or share, Michael, if you arrive in London and have only a couple of days there, what are the few things top of the list to see and do?
I guess that always depends on what you like, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not all that keen on going to galleries and museums, but there's some very good ones over there if you just sort of want a taste of it. The National Portrait Gallery, I sound very highbrow, and I'm not. The National Portrait Gallery's always got something really good going on. But I think pubs, if you're only there for a few days, you should go to a pub, because pubs are different in London. And, you know, I mean, if you want more information, I reckon, you know, things like, I mean, go and see a good old-fashioned, you know, sing-along, which they have a lot of as well. But it really depends what you like. Let me know what you like, and I'll probably could give you more info. info on that, send another SMS.
Another good place, if you want to explore something really fun, the monuments are not only sitting there, but they're interactive. They just put the Tower of London and the history of the Tower of London from the day it was first built onto Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I was going for only a couple of days...
As a timeline.
Wow. If I was going for a couple of days, I'd probably do one, you know, almost full day of looking around or getting on one of the tourist buses and going around to that. Although they're not cheap, those tourist buses. I reckon you could pretty much just walk around most of it and then, you know, get a cab would be cheaper than, you know, the £35 that they charge to sit on a tourist bus. And then the other day I'd drink.
There are lots of free things to do in London. The Natural History Museum is phenomenal and well worth going to have a look.
Yeah.
You get to catch a tube and walk around South Kensington. It's around the corner from Harrods and Harvey Nicks. They're worth going to have a look at and maybe having a drink there on 5th and that blowing 50% of your budget.
Or doing it cheap and going to Camden Market.
Yep.
That's a really good market and loads of places to, you know, to eat and drink around. It's cheap. Yep, I love going to a market. You know, and I love, you know, when you go to somewhere like London, buying that little thing that you can take home with you that's not a souvenir.
The oyster.
You know, like buying something from a market, you know, that you think, oh, that's really cool. I mean, you know, going over there and getting a leather jacket from Camden Market is always, you know, you think, oh, I bought us in London, I like that. Depends what you like, though, doesn't it?
Now, one thing I'd like to ask, Michael, there's lots of accents and lots of different town cultures from thousands of years ago that grew up and became very unique. And now they've blended and become part of the United Kingdom. So can you travel from various parts of London not too far and find yourself with a different language set, different dialect, different way that people interact?
Well, a different accent, without a doubt. I mean, I don't know about dialects as such, you know. There's such a mixture, isn't it? I mean, I think that's the same as similar, I guess, to America, you know, where you get different, you know, southern and, you know, or midwestern, you know. But, I mean, it seems even more pronounced in the UK, doesn't it?
Mm. Well, it does to an Australian observer.
Yeah, absolutely. I very rarely can tell the difference in Australia for someone from Adelaide to, you know,
there are
Sydney.
Small differences, but not great.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, perhaps, no, I don't even think I could get, you know, someone from Darwin or, you know, that's not obvious to my ear, but generally, I go all a bit Professor Higgins when it comes to someone from the UK, you know, Birmingham, you know, or wherever it is, Newcastle, you know,
Manchester.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I love that. I love, you know, different accents and different, you know. But I mean, it's just makes it more varied, doesn't it?
And what part of the UK are you from?
London.
You're from London.
Yeah, or actually from Kent.
Okay, so south.
Yeah.
Yeah,
originally.
Beautiful.
But I bought a house in East London,
which
I still have now. And when I was looking at properties over there, they are, you know, you go and see a few, don't you? But the first one, well, one of the first that I saw was this house in East Ham in Melbourne Road. And I thought, oh, I've got to have it. It's Melbourne Road. You know, slightly ridiculous. And it's, you know.
But you do have family in Scotland, don't you?
I do, yes. Up in just outside Edinburgh.
After this break, we're going to actually explore more about you connecting with your family on this visit here on Detours on Joy 94.9. We've got a little song. Maybe I'm thinking Amy Winehouse or something. What do you reckon? What do you reckon we should be listening to?
I think
to?
A bit of Amy. Once we've talked about Camden Market, might be a good idea.
Okay. Amy Winehouse it is. What makes you stronger here on Joy 94.9? You're on Detours. Well, when Amy Winehouse wakes up, stay with us because we've got heaps more here on Detours all the way through to 1 o'clock today.
Joy 94.9.
You should be stronger than me.
Joy
94.9.
And that was the legendary, and I use the word again, Amy Winehouse, the amazing, much missed Amy Winehouse with Stronger Than Me. And we've got another email in from Caroline, who we spoke to before.
Oh, yes.
And she does like the idea of the pubs, the sing-alongs in the gardens and parks. She's not much in for church or museums either. We
Good
don't want
you.
An ABC tour, which is another bloody church, another bloody cathedral.
Right.
What else would you suggest for her? We've tapped a rich vein of what Caroline and Trish like. Let's talk more about that in London. And also, you went to other places, so we want to hear about them too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've got any more advice on... I'd have to go with them to be able to show them around, really. I think that's
I think we'll have to see if there's another text Greg's coming through offering a ticket for you.
See, I could quite easily do that. Although I'll be there again, I guess, probably June or July of next year. I tend not to like winter anymore. Well, even though people always say it was colder in London. I realise in the winter it's colder in London, but that's why I don't live there. You know, I just don't like cold weather. Not day in, day out. I think I had too many years of it where it's it brings you down. I mean, if it's you're getting on a train at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and it's getting dark.
Well,
it's horrible. It's depressing.
It's not too far along in our memories when cold snap across Europe and we had people dying during winter in Germany, right across through France into London in the UK.
They also die when it gets really hot, though, which is quite embarrassing, I think. You know, as
well,
a child, I used to have to go to...
Humans will do that. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it will happen to all of us. You did more travel, though.
There you go. Cut off on our prime.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that any further.
No,
let's talk
about... see dead people.
Not anymore.
Yes, I did. I went to Scotland. I've got a family that live just outside Edinburgh in a little town called Bowness. And obviously, I've been going there since I was a child.
That sounds beautiful. Tell us about Bowness.
Do you know, it kind of is. It really is beautiful. But there's a great big oil refinery there as well.
That sounds lovely.
It's just to see the smoke coming off the oil, you know, and all the gas and all whatever.
But it would give the sunsets that orange glow.
It does, in a Simpson-esque kind of way. Which is nice. You know, the fish have five eyes. But it's just, they have the Bowness Fair up there as well, which is just beautiful, where they crown the king and queen, which is normally the kids and things like that. It's a beautiful town, and just Scotland. I love Scotland. I've been to the Edinburgh Festival quite a few times. Great time to be up in Edinburgh as well. But Scotland's beautiful. And then I actually went from London to Scotland, then back. I was back to London, do a bit of work, and then earn some more, you know, of the local currency. And then I went to Gran Canaria for 10 days, which is sort of, depending on where you go, I was in Maspalomas, which is very, very English, you know.
Is it like Benidorm, but with big canaries?
It's just above Benidorm. It's in its
I would love
in its status, yeah. You know, you don't have to go very far before you get an English full breakfast or things like that. We try to stay in a hotel or an apartment. We stay in apartments that at least have a little bit of Spanish flavour to them, you know, and not overly English.
What, so you bought Doritos?
Well, you know, it's just you know what I mean, though. It's sit there, maybe just have a bit more Spanish flavour.
So where does this passion for Spain come from, the UK?
The good weather. Nothing else. I think once the
really?
English... Well, in the beginning, people moved over to Spain because they just get sick of the English weather. I think it brings people down to that degree.
Well, and there was no other appeal in all of Spain apart from their proximity to sunshine.
I think in the beginning there probably wasn't much because they didn't know what they were going to, did they? And, you know, now it's obviously everything that the good weather brings, that lifestyle of the sun and the sea and
sangria.
Everything like sangria, absolutely. And the sex, because that Maspalomas Pride was on when I went over.
And they have sex in Spain, do they?
I believe so, but just after the siesta, it's a perfect time for it. And you can, you know, we were there. There's loads of English performers that go out there for this Maspalomas Pride. So I was there for 10 days. A lot of work, but a lot of fun as well.
Now, so what were you involved? Sorry to interrupt you. No, were you involved in Pride? Were you?
I was, yes.
Yeah, what were you doing there?
I do. My cabaret act Dolly Diamond and go over there and dress as a woman and earn my money.
Now, do you dress as a woman or do you dress as a diva?
I dress as a woman. She turns into a diva.
Are you going to talk to us more about that?
I don't mind.
And Rose Garden?
Rose Garden, yes. She's more of a slut than a diva, but she's... She freely admits that, and she's my favourite slut.
Is she an English blossom?
She's a Northern Irish terrorist.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's an international drag terrorist.
With an explosive career.
Absolutely. She comes out to Melbourne each year. She missed last year.
Waxes with a shillelagh?
Yeah, probably. But you'll have to meet her, because she's dynamite.
So how do you, when you perform, when you entertain, you have cabaret, how do you travel with your costumes? Or do you pack it at home and just buy on
I always take over, you know, the ones that you really like to wear or the ones that are hard wearing as well. You know, you can fold sequins. It's I probably take the littler dresses rather than the great big, you know, ones, because obviously they take up so much room. I always take, you know, the shoes, the makeup, the hair, the tits, the, you know, and everything like that. But I always end up buying stuff when I'm there. There's a little shop in Hammersmith that I really like that is actually caters for women, you know, and but it's obviously for the larger woman, because I'm, you know, between a 14 and a 16, and I don't care who knows it. Broad shoulders, that is. And they do some amazing dresses, which I sometimes, I when I buy with them and I, you know, I'm leaving there, I think, God, what woman would be wearing that, you know? Where was she going that she's going to be wearing this, you know, massive sequin dress with whatever all over it, you know? But
First date material?
Well, I mean, God, you wouldn't get a second, would you? Depends who you're dating.
It could be for the benefit of someone who is, with a vision impairment. It might be is a Braille version of a sexy frog.
That's the only way to see
it. Depends how long the siesta is, I suppose.
Exactly. But I, you know, it's, yeah, hard wearing stuff is easier to pack. And but I love being able to come back with something from over there, because it generally means that people haven't got it over here. Mind you, most of what I wear, people wouldn't want to wear anyway, you know.
And the how do you pronounce it? Maspalomas Pride.
Oh, you pronounced it beautifully.
Thank you.
It's like you'd been there.
I haven't. So what happened there? What was going on? Apart from your performance,
a week of Pride events, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have they really go all out. They have right in the Yumbo Centre, which is a massive shopping centre, basically, where they have all the pubs and bars and stuff like that. It's a concrete jungle of excitement. And
is there a large gay community in?
Massive.
Massive. And is that where you would say the British tourists?
Where the gays go.
Yeah, where the gays go. And Ibiza?
Yeah, well, there's many other places where the gays go, but you know, in Gran Canaria, that's where they congregate, right, mainly, you know. Everywhere, but...
A lot of people from the UK, a lot of Germans, I would imagine.
There is. There's definitely a lot of Germans, which, you know, it's back to that with the accents. I just relish in meeting, you know, people from different countries, when you're over there. I love that, you know. I don't mind hanging out with the English, of course, and hanging out with anybody, but it's always great when you meet, you know, people from Germany or wherever, you know. That's the whole point of travelling, I think.
Yeah. What about the Aussie? I mean, one thing bugs me about the tone of the Aussies when they travel overseas is sometimes really appalling.
Well, I don't think you can say that without that can be said about any country, I think. Yeah. I mean, the English, you know, I mean, I think I don't even want to pinpoint now. You know, I think Aussies travel really well. I think they're known to be friendly across the world, aren't they? You know,
and up to do anything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think, you know, it. I mean, we're generalizing, but I think generally that's true, you know.
And I think most people are hypersensitive about their own people embarrassing themselves when they're overseas. I've lived overseas a long time, and I got very self-aware that I was highly critical of anybody doing anything if they were Australian. If there were 10 people and one Australian, I'd pick them out and say, what a wanker, all Aussies are bad. And then it's like, no, there were 10 people doing it from diverse countries. Mm. They were having a blast. They were out travelling, doing what they don't get to do because they're workaday lives. They're there to cut loose. They're there to have young people's fun. And you know what? I'd just calm down.
Well, what do you think? 0427 join 949 or onair@joy.org.au. And thank you, Tex, too, because Tex messaged in as well saying it was a fabulous show and he's listening.
Hurrah.
You'll be able to, at 1 o'clock, in fact, we should say 2 o'clock after Cravings, you'll be able to go out and do your shopping, Tex. But you have to stay tuned until then.
Yeah, Cravings have got another amazing show planned, so I can't wait.
And coming up shortly, you'll hear Pete Dillon give us a bit of a prequel of that. You're on Detours with
the Encore. The Entree, sorry.
With Mark and Greg and our special guest, Michael Dalton.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Joy
94.9. Joy 94.9.
What great music.
I know, Taylor Dane telling it to our heart. She's fantastic. That song and how she makes her body rock has been a favourite, I think, of everybody's for a good 25 years.
I was sitting here rocking my box off to
That voice, that's Pete Dillon.
Hello.
From Cravings.
How are you? Why do I sound like Alison Moyet all of a sudden? I actually recorded that thing of Alison Moyet. It's not her at all.
So hey, what's cooking good looking?
Cooking good looking. Today we're not cooking, we're drinking. It's grand final day. And so,
in moderation.
Absolutely. Everything we do on my program is done in moderation. It's all about...
So what's moderation? Do we ever define that?
Yeah, as long as you remain vertical, it's still in moderation. Hey,
vertical or horizontal?
Some boys who are making some wine in Argentina, in Mendoza. Two Australian boys. So their program is called Two Men in Mendoza. So we're having them back in. They're also behind something called Pinot Palooza. which is all about a festival celebrating Pinot Noir, which is one of my favourite things in the whole world, is Pinot Noir. So I'm going to use this opportunity to tell people anything you want to know about wine. I have two of the country's foremost experts in the studio between 1 and 2. So any questions you have about wine, text them, email them, send them via the iPhone, ring up and ask. We are taking questions today because it's they are very knowledgeable boys.
Wonderful. So stay with us.
I've got some questions I'm going to line up right now for you.
Definitely.
And write them down.
Before you go, who's going to win the grand final?
The Swans are going to win by 12 points. That's why I'm wearing red and white.
Yeah. If you're somewhere around the world, Janine, if you're up there walking Lucky Legs up the mount at the hill there, the summit at Hong Kong, it's grand final day, as you know, in Melbourne.
Yes.
And the whole city has gone yellow and brown and black and red and white.
Red and white. Yeah, go the Hawks. Now, they're not my team, but I'm going to say go the Hawks because I went to university in Hawthorn. That's the most the closest thing I've got to any relationship with either of the teams. So, yeah, that's what I'm putting in. But tell us more about your family that's here. Greg's got some questions for you, actually.
Yes.
I do. I know you've got a beautiful daughter, Olive.
Yep. Nearly six.
She lives here in Melbourne, doesn't she?
Yep, in Brunswick.
So really when you fly back in and that jet comes past the clay pot terracotta tile roofs and the cockatoos coming off the gum trees as you come into Tullamarine, they're there every time you come in during daytime. You're coming home. You're coming home to family. You're coming home to your daughter, aren't you?
Oh, but without a doubt. I mean, as I said, Melbourne is my home. I love going away and missing the winter, but I do miss Melbourne every time I go away. And, of course, I miss, my daughter and family. Everybody, all my family live here apart from the ones that are in Scotland, which is auntie, uncle and cousins, who I'm very close to. But other than that, everybody's in Melbourne.
So does becoming an Aussie, does it develop a new part to your whole persona? Or is it just evolve the Michael Dalton existed before?
Well, I'd lived here when I was a kid as well. So 82 to 92, went mm-hmm. to high school and everything. And I don't know. It's always a fine line, isn't it? When you, I'm definitely not Australian, but I'm proud to live here, but I do want to become an Australian citizen. I'm a resident at the moment, and I'm going to look into becoming a citizen.
Well, that's going to be a party the day that
you
become dewogged.
I definitely. Well, I don't think you do. I don't think that happens. I think you are what you are, and be proud of that. But I think if you're going to live somewhere, you should make that commitment, and it won't stop me being English. It will just make me an Australian citizen, which I'll be equally proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. Course. You go for it.
I definitely want that. I'm proud to be a resident. So lucky to be here. I think that these days, if you live in a country and you don't kind of, doesn't mean you have to adopt all the ways of that country, I think ideally you could try to speak the language would be good. And that's the world over. I think.
I agree. I live 10 years in Dubai. I read, write and speak Arabic. Not very well, but I do.
No, but you have enough to hold a conversation or to adapt the ways of where you're living.
I can also get by in Hindi, Urdu and amongst other things and point.
There you go.
I am an outstanding pointer at things.
I'm a good pointer.
I like that.
And also there's a Filipino there. And you know what? There are people who have lived in a place like Dubai for 20 years who don't speak a word of Arabic. They can't even greet people because
that's ignorant rather than wrong.
It's a human rights abuse.
Hmm.
I'm going there.
Now, coming back in a brief moment, we're going to talk more about part of your travel through Prague with a member of your family. He's a friend of yours. Luke Gallagher is more than just a friend. He's part of your family
Yeah, it's like an ugly sister too.
You're on Detours. That's Michael Dalton with Greg and Mark.
Melbourne's most uplifting station is about to take you to new heights. Joy 94.9.
You're here on Detours with Mark and Greg and our guest Michael Dalton. Now, Michael, we have your beautiful daughter Olive here in Australia, your family here, but part of your extended family is a good friend, Luke Gallagher.
Yes.
And you've worked together.
Yeah,
for,
we do. We do
a long
time. Our little double acts, you know, his Dolly and Luke have been doing Midsummer and, you know, hosting this, that and the other for a while now.
So was it planned that you met up in Prague and
no,
Berlin?
No, yeah, bad luck.
What happened?
Of course it was planned. I knew he was coming over.
Wow.
We met at a bus stop in Ibiza. I couldn't believe it. There he was. No, he was coming over to...
After siesta.
We were definitely going in to Berlin together. We went to do Berlin Pride. And he's been going to Berlin for years. And I'd never been. I've done a lot of Germany, but not Berlin.
Now... Let's talk about more of you doing a lot of Germany. Mm. Are we talking gummy?
Gummy bears. No, I did...
gummy party?
I did, no, we're not. I did a lot of Rocky Horror across Germany.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And we went touring in places that a lot of Germans haven't been to, you know.
Germany?
They've been there, but, you know, not travelled as much. Yes, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's great.
What about it do you love?
I think I like the Germans. They've had a bad rap, obviously, for a few years there.
Now, that was a cough. That's why we needed to pause for a moment. It wasn't rolling of the eyes or anything. He actually does like the Germans.
But why do you like them? What about them do you like?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, just the way that they are. They're quite honest, aren't they? Quite forthright. And I like that. I think, you know, Australians are quite honest and forthright. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something there.
There's a funny German expression about the way the English speak. They call it durch Blumen sprechen, which means speaking through flowers.
Oh.
And they don't like it at all.
Right.
They think that if you have something to say, you should say it.
Yeah.
And they don't like the way the British communicate because they think that it's too wrapped up in trying not to offend someone that you offensively don't communicate.
Well,
it's a really funny Germanic way of seeing the world.
I mean, I don't mind, yes. And I'm all right with that up to the point where you don't want to be, you know, what was it, Blumen rude. you know, I think it's okay as long as you do it, you know. But I mean, the people that I know and or that I meet that become your friends will adapt to that.
They will push that boundary, won't they?
Yeah, or they, you know, they know that you are a little sensitive, flower yourself and be nice, you know.
Yeah.
But we met in Berlin and then we caught the train to Prague, which was great. To not get on another, you know, aeroplane was nice. And it was a really short journey, it's like a few hours. And I loved Berlin, but I was really taken with Prague as well. It was such a beautiful city. And yet again, I didn't go to any galleries or museums, but you don't really have to because it's all there, oldie worldy town. And, you know, walking around in the lovely restaurants there and just having a, you know, just sitting outside. The weather was lovely and, you know, just enjoying Luke's company. You know, he's a great person to travel with, probably better than I am because he does do all the sightseeing, which meant that we could hire bikes the second day and go and look at stuff that he thought I would enjoy, which was nice. He did everything and I just did some of it.
And then so you can flip through his notes, then you can tell people when you get
yes.
home about all those things that you should have seen.
Exactly, although I like a visual note rather than a written one.
And what was your highlight of Prague?
His name was Mark and it was just going around and seeing different things, I guess, and the restaurants. I just, you know, it's nice to be able to sit outside and enjoy a meal. I really loved, you know, just sitting outside and having a drink and, you know, that's that sort of thing.
I mean,
that would be a highlight. We did go to see Duran Duran, though, in Prague. That was kind of fun as well.
Mm. Does the gay community mesh well with straight community in Prague?
Well, I mean, as a visitor, I guess you only, you don't really know that, do you, as such? I think, you know, there didn't seem to be any, you know, trouble or anything. But, I mean, as to how well they mesh, I don't know, you know. But, I mean, everybody seemed to be getting on all right when I was there.
You didn't feel a sense of danger?
No, not at all.
So you felt quite inclusive?
I think when I go anywhere, though, you try to be aware, you know, keep your eyes open, don't you, rather than, you know, just, you know, and I try not to look like a tourist, you know. I think that's always a good idea. I don't know how well I blend in. I wasn't dressed as Dolly, so it was probably all right.
Now, you're two good mates. When you get to spend time together and you're not performing, What do you like to do together?
Perform.
So you one-up each other, do you, all the way through?
Well, please, if you know Luke Gallagher, then you'll know that's not possible. I just think we're just enjoying each other's company and, you know, having a good old chat and, you know, looking at the stars, you know, various things that are around you when you're on holiday. When he then left and I went to Ibiza with friends and, oh, I loved that. That's a great party town, Ibiza. You know, so I highly recommend that. I highly recommend everywhere I went. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't want to talk about it.
Fantastic. Joe, it's been awesome. A fabulous journey today, Michael. We appreciate exploring that with you. And we should have you on Detours again, because I expect this four-month sojourn to Europe happens every year.
No, not that long, but I mean a couple of months normally, you know. And I really want to go to Croatia next time. So I should be popping to Croatia, because I've got a mate who's going to be moving there. And a little bit more Greece, I think, in my life is what I need, you know.
Wonderful. Michael Dalton, thanks for joining us on Detours. And Mark, it's been a pleasure again.
Thank you. And thank you very much to Caroline Trish. Enjoy your trip.
I'm going to D&M now to support the Hawks.
Well done. See you next week on Detours. Bye-bye. I've been
around the world. Hi, we're Aqua. We've been around the world and nothing gets us excited like Detours on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.